case for argument this morning is Arteaga against the United States. Mr. Gill.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. I'm Michael Gill on behalf of the minor plaintiff and her mother. My argument is basically twofold, Your Honors, and it dovetails a little bit between the accrual argument and the equitable tolling argument. I'd like to start with the equitable tolling, if that's okay with Your Honors. I have a belief that this circuit should side with the Third Circuit in the Santos case and adopt the doctrine of equitable tolling of the statute of limitations under the circumstances of this case.
Well, the problem I have with that argument is that, I think the equitable toll, it's fine to recognize equitable tolling in appropriate cases, but it seems to me that knowing that this is a federal instrumentality and these federal employees, even though it's not adequately disclosed, advertised by the Erie Center, wouldn't have made any difference because years pass, whether because of poor advice of counsel or whatever, but years pass in which she does not pursue this against Erie. And what difference would it make if she had known that it was a branch of the federal government?
Yeah, I think it would have been a reasonable likelihood that there would have been a difference. You know, we don't know who attorney number one was, and we don't know what advice
you don't know?
that
I don't
person
understand.
Gave her. Attorney number two gave her the
you
wrong...
You can't find out who the first lawyer was?
We haven't been able to find out who it was.
She doesn't remember?
She doesn't remember. The only reference is in that Health and Human Services report. There was some confusion as to whether attorney number two ever existed, and that came to light later. But, you know, the SOL that was
never
communicated...
existed?
We didn't know how many people she had seen before she came to see us, to be quite honest. And, you know, as a first-time mother of a special needs child, not everyone is in tune with statutes and limitations as would be helpful to us. She certainly had her own issues to deal with. We understand that.
No, I think that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I thought your particular concern was the fact that the Erie Center doesn't disclose that it's federal, which it is, quite peculiar why it should be, but there it is, because it gets money. It doesn't. These aren't really federal. When they are classified as federal employees, it's quite strange and, you know, I think unforeseeable. But that doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem seems to be her trouble with lawyers and the long delay as a result in bringing the suit, not who was sued. I don't see that.
If the federal status of the Erie and Erie's employees had been known and that had been communicated to Mom, even if someone is declining her case and saying they don't think she has a case, at least she would have known that she only has 2 years to deal with that issue. She was told she has 8. And that's standard in Illinois.
But are you arguing that ignorance of a statute of limitations is itself enough for tolling?
No. What we need for tolling is...
Because there's an Illinois statute of limitations, and it was... And she missed that also.
Well, she did not miss
only
the Illinois...
It's 5 years.
No, it's 8 years, Your Honor. It's 8 years for a minor in a medical negligence case in Illinois. So she's everything she did was well within the 8 years.
Oh, because it involved a minor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm sorry. I forgot that.
So if she had been aware that this was a federal group, or if the attorney she went to initially had been aware that this was a federal group, they could have advised her that, you know, we don't think there's a case, but you only have 2 years to deal with this, so you need to get on it.
Isn't the malpractice bar in Chicago aware of the Erie Center, aware that there are these, what they call federally qualified health centers, that they're deemed part of the federal government?
I would say no.
Be widespread knowledge among malpractice lawyers, right?
For whatever reason, it's not, Judge. And I know it now, that's for sure.
This is our second Erie case.
It is.
Second that I've been on.
Arroyo was also an eerie case, and just by fortune.
I want to go back to what you said the attorney should have advised her. You think counsel should have advised her, we don't think there's a good claim, but we advise you to file it anyway?
No.
That's sanctionable.
Absolutely not, Judge. Absolutely not.
Right.
No.
So presumably they look at it, and for good or ill, they say, we don't think there's a good claim. We advise you not to file. At that point, the statute of limitations is not the bar to filing. It's the advice of counsel not to file. And she apparently had three law firms tell her that before you.
Two. But yes, the third lawyer referred her to me.
All right, so she had at least two law firms tell her that. The second is the Salvi firm.
That's true.
And the first we don't know.
That's true.
But unless the Salvi firm had told her to sue, that was October 2006. After that, the time is gone, no matter what she knew about the federal status of Erie.
Depending on how you read Stolson, yes or no. But I think, jumping back to Your Honor's initial inquiry, no reasonable attorney would say, you should file this suit even though I think there's no merit to it. You can't do that in Illinois anyway. You need to have a certificate of merit.
Yeah, just wrongful.
Well, you will be sanctioned. It's not a good way to do business. What you do tell them is that I don't think there's a case, or I don't think I can prove a case, and the statute of limitation is X, Y, or Z. You need to make sure that you live up to those statute of limitations, or you will be prevented from recovering. Now, if the federal status had been disclosed, those earlier attorneys would have been
now,
able to tell her that.
So are you saying the ground of equitable tolling is that Erie Center does not disclose that in the event of a malpractice suit, you should be aware that there's a 2-year statute of limitations?
I think that's part of it, Judge. I don't know that they need to go that far, but they should have to.
Well, that actually bothers me because I don't understand really what disclosure would be appropriate. Obviously, you're not going to make them say, if you want to sue us for malpractice, you know, bear in mind, we're federal. We've only got 2 years. I don't see that.
Well, in a more favorable reading of your concurring opinion in the Arroyo case, that's where I would take it. I mean, they should have some affirmative duty to provide this information.
I would think, now, their current website calls them a federally qualified health center.
Currently,
do
yes.
Do we know what the throughout the this the period in which, or the, say the first 2 years after the child's problem, do we know what the website said?
Not more than what's in the record, Your Honor. Judge Pallmeyer did a very nice job of laying out her criticisms and what she found.
Do we know in the record what it said in 2005 or 2006? That was the question I had brought.
And looking at... No, not that early, Your Honor. No, not that early.
Did you use the Wayback Machine to find out what it said?
I did not. Someone else may have, but I don't have that before me, Your Honor. So I see that my light is on.
I'm puzzled that the medical malpractice bar in Chicago would not be aware of the Erie Center, which I don't believe is the only one in Chicago that has this status. After all, the Erie Center is, I think it has multiple offices. I think it specializes in serving the Hispanic community.
Well, could I perhaps rephrase that? Are you doubting that the Salvi firm had actual knowledge in October 2006 that Erie is a federal instrumentality? Because the Salvi firm was Arroyo's lawyers.
I don't have direct knowledge of what they knew and when they knew it, Judge.
Did you say, serve them an interrogatory and say, did you know in October 2006 that Erie was a federal instrumentality?
I have not done that.
You know, one of the puzzles here is that you're making a tolling argument based on ignorance of Erie's status as a federal instrumentality when the second law firm, Arteaga, engaged, seems to have had actual knowledge of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to represent the plaintiff in the Federal Tort Claims Act suit in Arroyo.
You know, the evidence in the record to that was added on appeal. I don't think it's part of the record appropriately.
It's something about which we can take judicial notice. The name of the law firm is printed in the Federal Reporter Third Series.
It's true.
As Arroyo's lawyer.
That's true, Judge.
Thank you, Mr. Gill.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Gill, we'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal, so you can plan on that. Ms. Bowman.
May it please the Court. Counsel. The time frame in this case is that Artigo's daughter was born in July 2004. We know that she hired an attorney who reviewed her case for 6 months. And then waited 15 months before hiring a second attorney to get a second opinion. That means 21 months had passed before she even engaged the law firm of Salvi Shostak and Pritchard, which means they had a very small window under the statute of limitations to decide whether to file a claim. They waited 16 months to then decline her case, and she waited another 16 months to seek a third opinion, which is her...
Another 16 months she waited to do what? I didn't hear you.
To seek a third opinion, which is her current counsel.
Oh.
So by the time her current counsel was engaged in June of 2009, 4.5 years had passed, and the statute of limitations had long since expired. There's two questions, the first of which is, does the discovery rule told the statute of limitations.
How long did it take for the current law firm to file the suit?
The current law firm was, she first spoke to them in June 2009, and they filed suit in March of 2010 in Cook County.
So how many months was that?
Sure.
Well, it depends on the date in the month,
right.
But it's either 9 or 10.
About
right?
9 months.
9 months. No.
What's interesting about the current law firm, there's been a great deal made about what the website of Erie does or does not say. But what's interesting in this case is the record says that her current law firm didn't check that website until after they filed the case. So equitable tolling can't be based on a website that they didn't read until after they filed the case, until after the statute of limitations expired. And, in fact, her current law firm didn't check the website until after Erie's attorney told that attorney that the case would be removed to federal court. What we do know also about the current attorney is that the first contact...
Did you, by the way, check the Wayback Machine to... find out what was on the website in 2005 or 2006?
I don't know what was on the website in 2005 or 2006.
I didn't ask that question. I asked whether you checked the Wayback Machine. Okay.
What's also interesting about the current counsel is that the first record we have of the counsel reaching out to the government at all or trying in any way to ascertain the government status of Erie is by filing a lawsuit in Cook County. The lawsuit was filed in March 2010, and an attorney for Erie told the attorney for Arteaga within 1 month that the case would likely be removed to federal court, which means all the current counsel had to do was reach out to Erie in order to answer that question. Does it have a federal status or not? A step that they didn't take until it was too late.
Do the funds that go to a place like Erie have a requirement, include a requirement that there be some disclosure of the federal status?
No. There is no such requirement that there be a disclosure. HHS has undertaken to make it publicly available through a 1-800 number and through a website called findahealthcenter.org that you can put in any name and determine its federal status.
Does the fact that this suit was filed in state court, maybe I should have asked Mr. Gill, does the fact that this suit was filed in state court imply that it was filed without ever discussing the claim with Erie or its lawyers before filing? Because otherwise you'd expect Erie to say, you know, it's not us, you should be making a Tort Claims Act claim.
What we know is that...
By the thought that a malpractice suit would be filed without discussing settlement first.
All we have in the record is that the first contact with Erie of any kind was when they were served with a Cook County complaint.
All right. Well, that certainly implies that there was no attempt to discuss, to settle, to do anything.
It does imply that to me. The discovery rule certainly doesn't toll the statute of limitations in this case because, as Arteaga argued, since birth, Arteaga diligently pursued, they argue, a claim against Erie Family Health Clinic. We know that within a year of this child's birth, Arteaga had expressed to a social worker that she felt there was something wrong with the way her prenatal care was handled and that this injury to her daughter was preventable. We also know within a year of the child's birth that she had obtained her medical records, retained a lawyer, and then gotten a second opinion. So there's really not an argument that the discovery rule, after all of those steps, could still toll the statute of limitations.
In the event we need to discuss it, it would be helpful to have your view of whether equitable tolling is permissible in light of the Supreme Court's opinion in Sebelius against Auburn Regional Medical Center. Your brief contends that equitable tolling is never allowed in Federal Tort Claims Act cases. Now, I find it hard to reconcile that position with Auburn Regional, but what is the Department of Justice's view about the effect of Auburn Regional on Tort Claims Act cases?
What we argued in the brief is that the majority of circuits have...
I'm not asking what you argued in the brief. I'm asking about the significance of Auburn Regional on Tort Claims Act cases. Your brief doesn't discuss that.
Right. Certainly that case suggests that the statute of limitations is not a jurisdictional requirement, and the court could decide that because it's not a jurisdictional requirement, that equitable tolling might apply in the right case.
You would think that that's what Auburn Regional says loudly, unanimously. It's hard to imagine a clearer opinion. So is it still your position after Auburn Regional that equitable tolling is never permissible in Federal Tort Claims Act cases?
No, I would say that I would concede that equitable tolling could apply in certain cases, but that it doesn't apply here.
Okay. Well, I completely appreciate the argument that it doesn't help your adversary, but I am happy to hear that the Department of Justice has changed its view on that question.
I would direct you to the Seventh Circuit's opinion in McCall, where this court considered whether there was an equitable remedy when just a minor did not file a claim within 2 years. And what the court considered in McCall is that the statute itself doesn't mention tolling just based on the fact that the fact of minority or that Illinois has a different statute of limitations. And we would say that what Arteaga is arguing here is the same thing. It is unfair for a minor to not have the same statute of limitations federally as they do in Illinois. But what the court said in McCall is we cannot read into the statute something that isn't there.
Well, I don't think that's their strongest argument. Let me ask you, maybe you don't know this, maybe you should ask the other counsel. Is there some association of medical malpractice lawyers?
Is there an association of plaintiffs' medical malpractice lawyers or in general?
Well, could be both.
I mean, specifically to medical malpractice, I can't say. I know that there are several associations of plaintiffs' lawyers.
If there was such an association, it would certainly make clear to everybody that there are these shadow federal entities enjoying a shorter statute of limitations.
The federal entities that enjoy the shorter statute of limitations do so under an act that was passed in 1992. So we don't think that this is a new thing, that it should come to a surprise to any plaintiff's attorney, much less the plaintiff's attorney that represented the plaintiffs in the Arroyo case, where they were specifically told that Erie was a federal clinic. I see that I'm almost out of time. Unless the court has any further questions, I'd ask that you affirm the district court's decision.
Thank you, Ms. Beaumont. Mr. Gill.
Let me quickly address a couple of questions that Your Honors asked my opponent. First of all, as far as the Medical Malpractice Lawyer Association, Illinois Trial Lawyers Association has groups that deal specifically with medical negligence cases. The attorney from Salvi and Shostak, Michael Shostak, is a former president. He's also, unfortunately, deceased, and he was the one who signed the letter. I can't go to him and ask him what he knew and when he knew it, and I haven't done that, obviously. As far as whether or not we discuss settlement with parties or contact their lawyers before we file suit, the answer is sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's Northwestern University, I know people there that I can call, and I know people who would generally represent them in cases. I don't have that same knowledge regarding Erie. I don't think it's generally known.
Erie is affiliated with Northwestern.
They are affiliated with Northwestern. Yeah. That's where the birth took place. But we had no reason to believe there was a case that would be viable against Northwestern. We didn't file suit against Northwestern.
No, I understand. But you were saying you knew people at Northwestern.
We do, yeah.
You can talk to them about Erie, right?
Well, we didn't. You know, in retrospect, maybe that's a good idea.
But I was just a little unclear. There is or is not a medical malpractice plaintiffs association?
There is.
So wouldn't they have warned people that there are these federal entities with the shorter statute of limitations, but you have to know what they are because they don't advertise that they're federal?
That would be a very good topic to raise at the next meeting.
But it has.
It has not happened.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Gill. The case is taken under advisement.